Can you state your name, please?
Vera D. Rogers.
Okay, and your date, your year of birth?
February the 1st, 1912.
Okay, where were you born, Mrs. Rogers?
In East Butler.
In Butler?
In East Butler.
East Butler.
5 years old when I came to Grove City.
Oh, I see. What nationality were your parents?
English and Dutch. Mormons.
How long had they been in this country? How many generations had they been in this country?
I'm not sure. Like, I think they were in Nelsonville, Ohio. The Masons, the Lee Masons came out of there. And then the Rogers, why, they're all around here.
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh. In RDs and in surrounding areas.
I see. You don't know when they came over from England?
Well, Joe's mother, my husband's mother, came over from England when she was a little girl. And they were the Irish, the McCaffertys and the O'Briens. Her name was Maggie O'Brien. And they settled in Pardo and Sandy Lake and Stoneboro. And then there was quite a few of them, the McCaffertys, and there's still some over in Sharon. And they were all Irish. The Maggie O'Briens. And this was my husband's mother. But she married an Al Rogers. And then my husband was Al Rogers.
Is East Butler part of Butler?
It's a little wee place. I don't remember it too well, just vaguely. But my sisters and all that. My father came from Marion, Indiana. And my mother came from Muncie, Indiana. So we were into Indiana Hoosiers. And everyone was born in Indiana but me.
How did you came here to Pennsylvania?
Well, he was a Lee Mason, and they were from Nelsonville, Ohio. And they started, he married a Mormon, and they went into the masonry. They built the pillars for buildings in Muncie. Down by the Wabash River, they moved into Marion, Indiana. The Masons did. Uh-huh. And they moved into Marion, Indiana, and they went to... He was a Mason, but his name was Mason also.
Oh, it was.
And then they have a bank there with pillars where Lee Mason had made them.
Oh,
my
yeah.
grandfather in Marion, Indiana. And my mother lived in Muncie, Indiana, and they met. My mother and father met in Muncie and Marion, Indiana, and they were married in Muncie, Indiana. Then he was a cupolo man. My father became a cupolo man. He was Dad Mason over here at the Cooper Bessemer, and he would melt all the iron for all the Cooper Bessemer Indians. He was a cupolo man. When I would carry his lunch in, you had to go through all the shopping, and he would be at the great big. He melted the iron. You see, he got burnt in many ways.
Oh, did he?
And he would reline the cupolo. That's the great big pipe that the smoke all goes up. He knew how to melt iron.
I see.
So
Jack
McCune that owned the Cooper Bessemer, Jack McCune and Carruthers, who started the Cooper Bessemer business. My father was, they brought him up from East Butler, and that's why we moved up here when I was 5 years old. He was the cupolo man until he died. He was called Dad Mason. And then I took care of George McCune, the son of Jack McCune, for 3 years with other nurses, but I was an aide, and he told me all about my father.
Oh, did he?
Coming in here when I would put him to bed at night. He was at ambulatory and in wheelchairs, and so I would tell him about my dad, and he would tell me about Dad, how they had a meeting at the hotel, and they were about to bring the cupolo man who would melt the iron and know how for all the engines and the makings of the engines, the parts, you know.
They were hard to find.
That was the most important thing, was the melting of the iron.
Oh. Well, how did they pick your dad?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how Dad applied or how they found him. But they did find him, and they had him at the Pengrove Hotel down here. Then it was, new, and it was just something special if you went to the Pengrove with the big shots from the Cooper Bessemer. So my dad, they had a dinner, and they introduced him to the guys at the shop. And then I don't know, because I was little, but Jack McCune told me, and his father was one of the first that started the Cooper Bessemer here.
So you lived most of your life in Grove City then?
All my life, and just watched it grow.
Did you work outside the home? If you had a career?
All kinds of jobs, all over the town. I've been everything but everything.
But can you name some of the jobs you've had?
Worked in all the stores and when I was young, and then I became a florist, just Nanny Jean out of Cougars. I went to the back end and learned how to grow the flowers, and then naturally she took me in and a few trips to a design school, and I became naturally a natural florist.
When was that? When were you a florist?
Oh, in the 50s. Mm-hmm. And I had many jobs, I don't know. Then I had a catering service at the college. I developed myself, and I did weddings, and I had a nice service.
When did you do weddings?
I did weddings, in the 50s, along with my florist work. And I started a catering service. Yeah, they've changed. The kids don't have I don't think they have the beauty that we had at the weddings. I think they mix their colors just like the designers in clothes, you know.
Yeah.
You mix your colors more where we just stayed, I thought, to a beautiful color. We blended our colors. In the florist work we did too. But I notice in the florist work now, they also mix all the colors. Sort of like nature, I guess.
Yeah. You catered the receptions, huh?
Yeah, lots of people in town, the Johnstones, a lot of people.
Do Grove City people have their own kind of tradition of how to hold a
yes.
reception?
Well,
different from other people?
Well, I think Grove City it's cliquey. It's a nice town. It's a beautiful town, but it has a certain pattern that the majority goes by.
That's very interesting. Could you tell me what that is? What pattern?
Well, I don't know. It's just it's a nice pattern.
Yeah.
It's a.
You mean the way the food is served, or when it's served, or what?
It's just I think there's discipline in all their thoughts of whatever, but not all the time. But I think they're sort of. It's a town that. I don't know how to say it, because I think that you have to. In order to come into the town and be a part of the town, you have to sort of find the people who make you that way.
Oh, you don't
to
really
become
belong.
A really part of the town. You don't belong until they... Now, I wouldn't say this for sure, but I think that they more or less, you have to be accepted.
Oh,
not really, but sort of.
Uh-huh.
It's cliquey.
Yeah. What families would that be?
Well, the country club people, the people who...
Who goes to the country club? What
most of
people?
Nice people. There's middle class people, money people, low class people. But they all sort of mingle together in a certain way that...
I see.
It's more or less the better class. We might say, but it isn't. There is no better class, really, but you have to say something.
Yeah, there's some kind of identity.
They golf, and some people don't, and they like to go out and eat, and some people don't, and they like to have parties, and some people don't, and they dress up, and some people don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're busy people,
yeah.
Real busy people.
Yeah.
And they get their work done, and they're always busy. You know?
And they kind of lead the way.
Business people. I wouldn't say they lead the way, but at all. The churches mostly in the town lead the way. But if they go to... all the churches have a... The town... People do go to church in town in order to keep up. Like, say, if there's business people in town, they go to church... I think they feel, you know, they have to be a part of everything in order to have a good business.
I see.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think it isn't where you belong. It doesn't have to be the country club or the Chamber of Commerce or anything like that. It's just that you have to be a part of everything going on and be seen a lot and take an interest in everybody in order to do a good job.
Be busy, huh? And be seen.
And be seen and do for people. And do a lot for people, and then you're recognized, and you've...
Is anybody excluded from...
Not really. If you want to work in the town and you want to become a part of it, you have to work.
Uh-huh.
And be busy and do things for the town.
Yeah. Then you get recognition.
If you want it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's true.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's true everywhere. It's a small town, and you can do it. But you couldn't do that in the city.
Yeah.
In the city, the people don't know each other. They don't, you don't, if you go to the city to even spend some time, I don't care where it is, in a big city,
yeah.
you're just, but in a little town, you can feel like everybody's there.
Yeah.
And you're not lonesome.
Yeah.
And you're not excluded. You can become a part of the town if you want to. If you don't want to, then you can stay put.
Where did you put on these? Where were weddings put on?
Up at the college at Crawford Hall.
Was that where a lot of weddings
were? I did my weddings up there.
Oh, I see.
The churches have them. I've done churches, too. But then the college kids, they bring a lot of business in, you know. The college does.
Well, the college kids have their weddings up at the hall.
Yeah, if you go to college, but nowadays it's different. You can have a wedding up there, too, if you want to, even though you don't go to college. But in my day, you had to go to college to have the wedding there. I catered up there, had a catering service.
Have the styles in what people eat at the weddings changed?
No, I don't think so.
Pretty much the same thing. What do people eat?
Excuse me.
Roast beef or chicken or what?
Well, nowadays they have receptions at clubs and they have a buffet or something like that, you know. But then they used to just have their nuts and candy and the cake. And then they would have a... It hasn't changed that much. The only thing is the kids don't have big weddings like they used to.
Oh, really?
They're smaller, I think. Now, maybe... I don't know why. I don't think kids dress up as much as they used to, but I think they have nice weddings now. I watch them over here at the college. They're nice, and if they do have a nice wedding, they go all out. They'll go to the country club, have a reception, and a big deal. But I don't think they have as many big weddings as they used to. They more or less just keep it kind of small, you know.
Yeah. Any reason for that? Do you think it's a cool...
Just the way the kids live. They don't... They don't do things like that. They have their sermons different. They make their own vows. And they say their own vows between. And it's pretty. I've been to them.
Yeah.
And I like them. But that's something there, that traditional, that's something that we had, is gone.
Yeah.
They make their own vows.
Yeah.
And they feel differently like about, but not really, but still that beautiful old tradition's gone.
It's the tradition that's gone, is that it?
I think so. That that thing, I don't know what it is. But I've been to the new weddings, and they're beautiful, and they're the kids really mean what they say and everything.
Yeah.
But there isn't that something that, I don't know what to call it.
Right to the past.
I don't know what it is. It's that feeling that you're going to be together forever. It isn't there anymore. Because they've divorced so much and been apart. They break up so quick that when you watch them stand up there, you're not sure they're going to stay together. Where in the olden days, you were
forever.
Just forever. It was forever. Whether you could stand it or not, it was forever.
Do you think it's not so good that they've had this loosening up of...
I don't know. It's a change. You have to take all the changes. I think we all have to take the changes. In the future, they say there won't be anything like now, and it's we won't ever get that back again. We have to go with whatever the changes are, and the weather and everything.
Do you remember any weddings in the 30s?
In the 30s, sure.
They were not as...
Then, in the 30s, if you had money, you didn't have cars. When we dated in the 30s, we walked. We didn't run around in cars, you know, the mother and father. If you had to have money to have a big wedding and to have a car. In those days, when you had a wedding, it was just a small wedding. It was like funerals, you know. You had go down a little aisle and go home and have a few friends in. And funerals, they'd have the body in the house, and they didn't. If you had a lot of money, you'd have a great big wedding.
When did the weddings become pretty elaborate around here? When people started to get money during the war?
I don't know. I think just as the kids grow up, they demand more. I think you just like they have. Your kids.
Yeah.
The kids now. God, that's easy. How much does it take now to raise a kid? Thousands and thousands and thousands. And my God, we used to go out and run around and eat the apples. And it was so simple then compared to now. And it was down to earth, you know.
Do you think it was better that way or this way?
Oh, it was better that way because you got out in the air and you were tough. And you didn't need to... The way we lived and we had boats and... And I always was up creek, you know. We call it the creek and the crick. And I would run through the woods, you know. And I didn't need the pills to get me high or anything like that. Then the kids, we never thought of drugs. If the drugs were around, they must have been away out somewhere where we didn't know about it. And cigarettes, if you smoked corn silk, it was a... And get a cigar, anything. I used to smoke corn silk and cigars and sneak around, you know. But then you didn't do things out in the open, and you didn't defy your parents, and you were tough, and then you survived, and you had everything that kids have now. But it wasn't the same thing you had. You thought you had everything. We didn't go on vacations and junk, and have to go to a shore. To get the sun. The sun was just there, you know. It was wonderful. I wish we could all go back there. You know, it was so wonderful to be able to do your thing without... Oh, I wish I'd been born, you know, way back in the days of... I love that. I love history. And I just wish I'd have been born way back. When they really... You really had to work to get... Rough it. Oh, yes, it's crazy. Kids nowadays, you can't even tell them how wonderful it is. They won't listen. They have no idea of how wonderful it was to have discipline and struggle and make things do and have all that outside. In the summertime when you were out of school, you just looked forward to just blasting out the door and get the air and just... ram, you know, and just have a wild old time running around the town. You didn't have to have a car or anything. You could walk miles and think nothing of it. Go out and hunt chestnuts. You can't even find a tree now. I don't know where they went. And lightning bugs, I don't know where they went. We'd go out and put them on our fingers and have a wonderful time and at night just buzzing around the neighborhood, you know. Now they have to have cars and clothes, and you don't know where they're at, and they got to go out of town. It's crazy.
Yeah, kids compete now with clothes, don't they?
Oh, they don't even know how to get dressed up nice, you know. They just put on the craziest damn stuff, I swear to God. And when they get dressed up, they don't look, I don't know, it's the style, but they look nice. They're comfortable. I think more comfortable than we were. There's no girdles and straps and junk, you know. But they are so messy. They look so messy and sloppy. Mm-hmm. They never look real sharp, yeah. You know.
Very few. Relaxed, yeah.
Even the kids with money. They look the same as the kids without the money. You don't know who's got money and who don't. Mm-hmm. In college here, you know.
Could you tell in the old days?
Oh, yes, you could tell in the old days. That's for sure. They had the right boots, you know. I go to school, we had to wear those funny black stockings, you know, with the underwear you folded.
Yeah.
And you'd like to fold that real nice, you know. And then comes in a nice, with money. With their leather boots and their cute little skirts and their knee socks and their fancy little jackets and leather, and God, you just thought, boy, I wish I could have that, you know. They look so sharp. And if a young, when you were going with fellas, you know, and here would come a new kid in school, you know, oh, real sharp. But he had money.
Yeah.
You couldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. They didn't even... If you weren't dressed right, you know, they didn't even mingle with you.
Oh, is that right?
That's the way they did it then. If you could talk to the... You had to be a little bit sharp to get in with them in this town.
Oh.
And then if you were a person, though, that could be nice to everyone and was likable, well, then you could mix with them. Could always mix with all of them then if you knew how to.
Yeah.
You didn't even have to know how, it was just your personality.
Were there any people who were really poor here in town?
Oh, yeah, lots of people. I took the census in 50, the first census that was ever taken.
Oh, is that right?
I was one of them, and I never realized how many dilapidated and poor people there were in the town till I went through the one ward.
What jobs did they have?
I can't remember. But I never knew there were so many dilapidated places and the way they lived inside.
They weren't really nice, decent houses.
No, I never thought there were so many in Rose City. But I don't know how it is now, you know.
Yeah.
But there were. That was in the first ward. All the first ward. It's Brooklyn Hill and all of Broad Street. We had a lot of apartments here then on above the buildings. These are all old buildings. We don't have hardly any new buildings here, you know. And
they tore down the buildings that were in front of that. Remember that block?
Used to be a lot of houses on Broad Street.
Oh, is that right?
I remember them. I went to high school. There were houses.
Where did blacks live when you were younger?
Blacks? Which one? Jim Black, they had a store.
I mean the Negroes.
Oh, the Negroes.
Yeah.
We didn't have hardly any. We never have. And what Negroes we've always had in town, they're wonderful people. I know them all. And they were not people that we couldn't trust. They were a part of Grove City. To me, they were. And to lots of people, they were.
There was no problem.
They work in the post, no problems, no problems. The Bashams and all, they were wonderful people. They're all around yet. We don't have very many. And they're not people, they're not the blacks that ever caused. I used to do minstrels. I was with a little combo for 8 years and did the minstrels. And I was Sapphire. And I still want to be Sapphire. But I got to quit pretty soon because I have so many things. I worked for the Chamber of Commerce And I've made wreaths for every pole in the town at Christmas. Then I had the heart, 5 years ago I had a heart attack. And I always worked all over the town. I was, when we had the telegraph office here, it was on Broad Street, right down there by the theater, the Guthrie Theater. And I used to take telegrams before they got the little machine that sent them through the air, you know, over to the Cooper Bessemer. And they called me Happy, and I'd deliver all the telegrams around town. And then I was everywhere. I've been everywhere. Everybody knows me, and I that's ever been in the town very long. Because I've been everywhere. I worked for the Chamber of Commerce yet, but I had the heart attack, so I had open heart surgery 4 months ago. All my scars, and I'm getting over it real well. Well, I've done it. I walk 2 miles now. I even walk up those 62 steps up into the upper campus where I used to have the winnings.
How do you feel?
Wonderful. I have a little lung trouble holding some fluid, but I was at Allegheny General with Pittman. And I stopped smoking 5 years ago, and then I stopped everything. Like I had used to like brandy, you know, that was a crazy thing. But anyway, I made 52 wreaths for the town of every pole. No, I never went into that, but I used to go out to, I'd take on a project like, I think, well, I'm going to fix the community park, you know. I put up a lot of scenes. Now, this year, I'm going to put some character.
You did that on your own?
No, I worked at the George Junior Republic, too, for 3 years. And I worked with the art teacher out there, and they would make all their scenes.
Yeah.
So Uncle Bill Gladden, Pappy Gladden's son, when I worked there, I was Aunt Vera. And Uncle Bill was starting to take the place over. Do you know about the George Junior out there? That's a big, big place where they have delinquents.
Yeah.
I took the basic and advanced training in that, too.
You worked there.
Sure. And I was out there until my eyes, I couldn't see, so I had to have cataracts. And you have to have eyes in the back of your head you work with delinquents.
Yeah,
but I've been to juvenile court and all the Morganza and all them. I still have my diplomas. I could work, but I'm not able, see, to put up with that. The restrictions are all off. The kids aren't, they don't handle the kids like they used to.
Oh, is that right?
Well, they take restrictions off. But I've been out with the art teacher, and I see I go out there. And so I've made some scenes downstairs. I have a room downstairs where I do my work. That's where I'm supposed to be now. And I haven't been able to do my Santa work. I'm Mrs. Santa Claus, see. And I used to bring for, I don't know, 10 years. I brought Mr. Santa to town, and I was Mrs. and had a little house. And it's soon time to bring Santa. I'll take you down on my way downstairs, and I'll show you. I make wreaths for homes, and I make merry-go-rounds, and I design my own stuff.
You keep busy, huh?
I'm a busy, busy, busy. I'm what you call a workaholic. You know, one of those?
Yeah.
And even they couldn't get me to the heart. The surgery's wonderful. And I just can walk. I walk clear across town every day and back. And then I don't know how long I'm going to be able to keep this up. I sure am thankful that I can do it because I love to do all these things. I've never stopped my work. When I moved into this building, I moved in and told Jan that I would always make Christmas. So I do. I've made them a great big wreath, and I do the Christmas decorations, and this year I'm going to display out with floodlights out front. I've done the whole street. The kids tore me all up. I've made so many things, and they'd rip them apart.
Or the college kids or the high school?
Just kids, wherever they are. Yeah, vandalism. We got a lot of that.
Yeah. They steal the light bulbs.
Yeah, so I take on, now when they start to do the wolf break, they're going to clean it out, and we might have, I don't know how old I'll be, because it's going to be a job, because I know all that area. I was raised there, and my dad had boats.
Yeah.
And so.
Oh, on Wolf Creek.
Wolf Creek. And I have a, I'm in the history of Wolf Creek.
Yeah, I've got
it's right there.
You got a legacy?
Yeah, on page 50. Vera Rogers, and that tells about me and Up Creek. Anyway, I have to get on that committee that when they start to do the thing, and what I would love to do, even if I'm real old, I'd like to come down that creek on an old, you know, I have a kid that plays a guy my age that plays a banjo, and I'd be singing. We'd have a little riverboat, you know, coming down there. And I say to the merchants, you know, because I work at the Chamber of Commerce, I say, hey, if they ever get that cleaned out, George and I, old George Bent and I, will just come down that creek on an old raft. And just the banjos will be going, and I'll get colored up, and we'll really honk the horns, and the place will be ready for business, you know.
Was it at one time pretty deep? Sure.
Oh, it was beautiful when I was growing up.
Has it changed?
Oh, yeah, it's all grown up. Then they haven't cleaned it out, and water hardly moves. If they could just get that all cleaned out, we could have a beautiful place to go swimming, boat.
Well, they used to swim there.
Oh, heavens, yes, it's all in that book.
Yeah.
But anyway, I got to go now.
Okay.
I'll take you down and I'll show you.